chapter 5, the book of Ecclesiastes, and this afternoon, there's a different kind of circumstance that this man has seen. And I guess it's pretty common seen if you are around religion a great deal, and that is people who are constantly talking about all they intend to do for God, very chatty kind of circumstances. And this is what the writer saw, and he wrote this as a thing that he has witnessed, and that is people who make a bad mistake when they go to church by actually talking more than they listen. And I thought about this, that oftentimes we feel like that if we've just gone and we hadn't been able to say anything, that we've just sat and we've listened, that some way, somehow, we've been cheated. So now we want to encourage everyone to say as much as they possibly will, hoping that in this everyone will have had their say, and in it all God will have been worshiped. But this writer cautions us against that attitude, and he tells us that we ought to be more careful when we enter into the house of God. We ought to be more careful to listen, that is to hear, than we should be to talk. So he mentions this in chapter 5, verse 1, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God." And that simply means watch yourself. Be very careful when you go in to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, what is the sacrifice of fools? None of us want to go into the house of God and offer the sacrifice of fools. Well, the sacrifice of fools is the offering of words that we do not mean, the saying of things that we're really not going to do, and actually becoming panicked and making a vow to God that we've not considered, and after we consider it, we know we can't keep it. That's the sacrifice of fools. The sacrifice of fools literally is words. Just words. I could easily offer the sacrifice of fools, and may very well do it, if I just say a lot of words. There's no real meaning. There's no real help in what I say. There's no real learning in this circumstance this afternoon. Then I will have offered the sacrifice of fools. But I've said a lot of words, but they haven't been helpful. They haven't been meaningful. They haven't been thought out. That's the sacrifice of fools. Just a lot of chatter that doesn't have any meaning at all. So keep your foot, that is, watch yourself. Think about it. When you enter into the house of God, then be more prone to hear and listen than to simply say a lot of words. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. If we're not careful, when we get into a circumstance such as we're involved in this evening, and we hear songs sung, and we see things with our eyes, we hear things with our ears, we're apt to get very enthusiastic. And then because we've gotten very enthusiastic, we've felt something, we know something, we've heard something, we're apt to say things about what we're going to do for God that after we get away from here, it seems like we have literally bitten off more than we can chew, and that would be a mistake. So don't come into the church house and get sentimental or get spiritual and get enthused and say, here are all the things I'm going to do this week, and then not be able to do it. Because God is in heaven. That is, God really exists, and God really hears what we say. God is conscious of our promises. God is promises. God is conscious of what we say we're going to do. God is conscious of what we're saying in our hearts. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Have you ever really worked so hard on a project and then go to bed at night not having finished it, and it is so much a part of you that you literally dream about it as you sleep? I think I have done that a few times, and I think you probably have done it a few things and I really think my wife has too, because I know she used to sew till late night, and then I think she sewed on the rest of the night. You ever done that? Just get so involved in your work and you just have to quit and go to bed. It's 1:30, it's 2 o'clock, but when you get to bed, you're lying there in bed and you're still putting all this together and you're still sawing that and cutting this and stitching that. And you go to sleep, and in your dreams you're still doing it. You know what that means? It means you're too busy. And he's saying that a multitude of words reflects this kind of overcommitment to a particular thing. And it is true that what we think about, we talk about, and what we talk about, we think about. So each reflects the other. And there are some times I just can't turn off a thing that I get started thinking about. And, I'm trying to unravel some particular scripture perhaps. And I go to bed at night and I'm lying there, and I lay this way and I think about it. So I lay that way and I think about it. And I lay this way and I think about it. And I sit up and I think about it. I can't turn it off. Well, that's the idea of this verse of Scripture. Because of your commitment to a thing, you think about it, and because you think about it, you talk about it, and because you talk about it, you think about it. It's really a revelation of ourselves. So be careful that you don't utter the sacrifice of fools, which is to commit yourself to a particular program or thing that you'll not be able to carry out, and that's what's contained in these other verses. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Now notice, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. What's he mean? Well, it's pretty simple. If we come to church, we get convicted about a particular thing, giving, praying, reading the Bible, or whatever. And I'll give you an illustration of this. Many years ago, I was in a conference with several other preachers. In fact, a pretty good-sized crowd of preachers. And it got really emotional. It got really a lot of amens and praise the Lord. And we all got really righteous, probably self-righteous, and really all got good. And one of the preachers in the congregation said, "Brother, I'm going to memorize the Word of God, the New Testament, and I'm going to memorize a chapter a night instead of watching TV and things of that nature." And he got up and announced he's going to memorize the whole New Testament. A few days later, someone asked him about it, and he said, "I hadn't thought about all them genealogies in Matthew." he started in Matthew, and he just noticed, "And so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so." He said, "That, I quit. I can't do that." Well, see, what he did, he made a fool out of himself by being in the house of God and vowing a vow that he couldn't keep. Now, if we're not careful, we'll do that. We will vow a vow that we cannot keep. We should, if we are in the house of God and we're solemnly convicted of something we ought to do or ought not to do, and we make a promise to God, and that's all a vow is, then we ought to have thought it out and make that promise to God. We ought to keep it. Because if we don't, then we are looked upon as being foolish. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. That is, don't promise more than you're willing to do. neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. And that's one of the problems we often have, isn't it? I don't mean to put this in a humorous light. It's not funny. But then again, if you've seen this a lot of times, you have to sort of take it with humor, because you begin to get skeptical of things. But I've been in the hospital with a mother and dad, and maybe their child was in the hospital and it was ill. And they'd say, "Brother Penn, we know we hadn't been going to church and Sunday school like we should, and we know we hadn't been giving like we should, and we've been very lax, and you know, our little boy or little girl is sick, and you know, we want to promise God now, if God will just get our baby well, we'll go to church every service, we'll be there on Wednesday night, and we'll give," and they really make a lot of promises. And then a little later, they'll say, "But, well, we said a lot of things, but, you know, it's just the pressure of a moment." Of course, the little child is well now, and he's playing out in the yard. And so he began to say, "Well, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have promised that, because I just didn't realize what I was saying. This, I was out of place. It was just a mistake. I shouldn't have said that." But, you know, we get serious illness, near deaths, real bad circumstances. We get panicky and we, you know, "God, if you'll just get me out of this, Lord," and we just make all kinds of promises. And the writer is saying to do that is to do a foolish thing and to cause yourself to sin, because you sin when you don't keep it because you've said you would and you don't. So you can't say it was a mistake. "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error." I've said, and I think it's true, that many a boy, young man, has shipped out of San Francisco and San Diego and gone to fight, and in that battle made a lot of promises, and then come home, and when he landed in San Francisco or a few years, 2, 3, 4 years later, "Thank you, God, I got home safe," but never have fulfilled the vows they made under the attack and under the threat of battle. Now, that's just one of many ways that I feel like all of us make, you know, we've done this. We can actually relate to it. And it might have been, "Dear Lord, I hadn't studied. If you'll just let me make a C in this, no matter what happens," you know. That things are oftentimes critical, isn't it? That we see where we have failed. "Now, God, if we'll just help us, I promise you, God, I'll make my bed. I'll carry out the garbage. Just let me make a C just to see. Help me not to fail," you know. But after we get the grade and it's a B, we say, "Oh, well, you know, dear Lord, you don't expect me to do all this stuff, do you?" And the answer? Yes, he really does. So, here's the consequences. "Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?" That is, God has listened to your voice. He has heard the promises. He's heard the statements. Now you say, "It was a mistake. I didn't mean it." Then God could be angered by this kind of attitude and actually destroy the things that you have built with your hands, the things that you have accomplished. Why? "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God." In other words, the things that come from being involved in work that cause us to dream these dreams, the words that we speak that are so in multitude that they reflect that we're not thinking seriously about what we're saying, that all of these things mount up to a lot of nothings. And it's just sort of like in math. If you add nothing to nothing, you get nothing. And in life, if what we do is built on meaningless things, zeros, after we've lived a life of just adding zero to zero, when we come to the end of our life, guess what we have? We have zero. So just making a lot of promises to God, or talking a lot in church, saying a lot of things about God, are just zeros. It's that we do what we say we will do, that we think through and then make our commitment to God and keep that commitment, then we have something. And when you add something to something, you have something. The caution is, when you enter the house of God, think about where you are. Think about who you are. And think about what you say. Think about what you think. Think about the commitments you make. Think about the promises you make. Think about the vows you make. Consider them. And if they're worthy and in place and proper and you mean them, then make your promise to God, leave, and keep it to the best of your ability. And that way God is pleased and you live a better life. But be careful. Watch yourself. Set a watch upon your tongue, that we do not promise more than we can perform.